Time to catch up on Kennedy Malloy for Choice Hotels, who right now are thanking our essential and frontline workers with the chance to win one of five $2,000 hotel vouchers. To nominate someone who has gone above and beyond over the last couple of months, visit needabreak.com.
Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, hello, Australia, and welcome to the big Thursday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mick Malloy.
Hello, Dangerous Dave.
Oh, g'day, guys.
All in attendance. Let's
We're
go.
We're all here.
Big
all
show
here.
Today. Dr. Chris Brown on board. That's always
well,
fun.
Well, that's good. And I've got a big question to ask him. Why won't my dog walk with my children?
Well,
I need a break.
You do need a break. You can't do all the heavy lifting.
I can't.
On the back of that, we're going to do Gone Wild too. There's so many big stories. I had no idea that there's a blue lobster. Did you know that?
I was just looking at that.
Oh,
saved by
baby.
Another colour lobster. A blue lobster to eat.
A blue Mornay.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
Baby.
That
Get
sounds
involved.
Delicious, doesn't it?
You've got some wedding news, Jane.
Well, I have. Not about myself, but of course, it's been a crazy time because people can't literally get married at the moment. They can't have guests.
Sure.
But when weddings have been up and running, some outrageous behaviour by brides, I have to say.
There's always trouble.
Always trouble. If you've got some wedding stories up your sleeve you'd like to share with us, give us a call.
We'll check in with our mate Michael, who's in quarantine.
Oh,
we'll see what
he's
up to. The song whisperer's up and about. So
That's
much
true.
To get through. We'll take
And a nerd course. Alert too, Mickey. Because,
oh, there's a nerd alert.
Yeah, we're going to get to that because I got an alert that came, actually.
What
a literal
it?
Alert on my phone from NASA.
What did it say?
I was saying that there's
Hi, Jane. NASA here.
Yes. That's what it said. Dave, you would have got one too.
Yeah, yeah. It's happening, I think, in the morning or it might be early morning our time. There's a rover up to Mars.
Yes,
7 months will take to get there.
We've done the rover to Mars, haven't we? That's not news.
But they're going to put people
on
Mars.
Rovers.
This is the roadmap to get people up there permanently.
It came at 5:30 this morning, live. NASA SpaceX Demo Mission 2 readiness briefing.
We will get to the bottom of that.
Yes.
Dave, how did your special go today?
Oh, really well, thank you. Yeah.
You did?
With Tim
excellent.
Finn, got some great feedback, which was great. So,
what was the bombshell? What was the revelation?
The thing I liked about it was when the album was first released and they were in London performing it, their biggest fan that was in the crowd dancing to the songs was Peter Garrett from Midnight Oil.
Oh,
wow.
With Tim Finn's mum and dad.
And
he's bouncing around to...
And you've noticed that dancing too.
Wouldn't you? Well, he said that. We're watching and you can see Peter Garrett dancing around to his song. So I thought
you
it was pretty
totally
cool.
You totally would notice that.
Also been working on the Billy Joel podcast today. Actually, I've got a 7 degrees of separation for you right now. You might like
Here
this.
Here we go.
All right. So I found out today, Jane, the guitarist for the band, David Brown, on Glass Houses, which is the album I'm doing.
I'm bored already, but... Keep going.
Go on.
He also played with Simon and Garfunkel, this guitarist, and he played on some of the classic shows that they did over the years.
I love him.
And he also
that.
Played guitar on the song Bright Eyes by Simon and Garfunkel.
That's one of Mick's karaoke songs.
This is all on the podcast.
Only special occasions.
This is all on the podcast. All right, so he played guitar on Bright Eyes, Art Garfunkel. I thought that's interesting. I wonder who wrote that song Bright Eyes. It was written and composed by a guy called Mike Batt. All right, now Mike Batt. That was the guy who composed the Triple M Dr. Dan theme. Isn't that interesting? So it all comes back.
That is.
That is.
Hello, Mick, are you still here?
I'm just hanging in there.
In the podcast.
We are indeed. Hey, a big day for you today, Indy. We're going to find out about Indy, why Indy doesn't go for a walk.
Well, she does. She'll only go with her mum and dad. She won't go with her siblings, and it's really annoying all of us. She does not move. It's very hard to budge 50 kilos of dog. When she don't want to go, she don't want to go.
She loves a car wash, though. I still love that photo
she
of her.
She loves a car wash.
In the back of the car wash.
She did something today, too, because there was a challenge. There's a challenge that is on, and I put it up on Twitter. And I've seen it a bit on TikTok. If I mention TikTok, he's going to laugh.
Are you on TikTok or something? What?
Are you on it?
I'm not on TikTok. No, I just can watch it for hours.
Right.
And it starts to, I mean, that's why you should be afraid because all of a sudden I like, oh, clearly I like watching dog TikTok. Next minute, my whole feed's filled with cute dogs.
Yep.
And anyway, so I saw this challenge that people did. It was talk to your dog using their favourite words.
Right.
And I did that with Indy today. I don't know. Do we have it?
Have you posted it?
I've posted it on Twitter.
Well, fantastic.
Yes, I have.
Let's have a look. Post it. Get onto it. Have
yes,
a look at
you
James.
Can have a look at me You're because
being
she has definitely.
The owner. It's teasing.
No, it's not.
It's teasing. You're
I
dropping
just got
all
a,
the key
she was
words.
Relaxing on
she
the couch.
She's up and about.
Want to go for a walk? And then the ears go up and.
Nothing.
Yeah, I said and maybe. And then we. Or do you want to go in the car? Hang on. Hang on. She's. I've got to. I don't want to say it. She's near me again. And,
right.
And I'll give you updates too as on the progress of the Taj Mahal, the Lego Taj Mahal.
I cannot Beautiful. Wait. All that and much more coming our way. But we're going to have a look at the wedding fiascos that are on around town after this.
All thanks to Choice Hotels. If you need a break with hotels across Australia, you can book direct at choicehotels.com.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Dr. Chris Brown, he'll be our special guest in the second hour. Got a nerd alert coming up. A lot more. Kennedy Molloy.
Ben's on the line. G'day, Ben. How are you?
Yeah, hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, what do you want to say, Ben?
Mate, I just wanted to thank Dave for that crowded house thing that he did earlier today. You know, it's been a lot of good things on Triple M over the years, and that was one of the best. Oh, split ends, crowded house. You know, it was that was pretty good.
New Zealanders.
Good on you, mate.
What was the best bit? What was the best bit, Ben?
Just the whole thing, wasn't it?
Just Dave's general demeanour.
Don't have time to listen to things, so.
Hey, good on you, Ben.
It was good.
We appreciate the feedback.
Yeah, you
good on you, mate.
Appreciate
Top shelf. Well done, Dave.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate all that.
You go, all right.
Yeah, thanks.
Now, Victoria had some really kind of Debbie Downer news today about COVID numbers and cases being up. So we're not even going to focus on.
Good on you. Let's give that a wide berth.
Yeah. We're going to give that a wide berth. Yeah. What I was going to talk about, though, is one of the effects that it's had is on weddings.
Mm.
And there's a lot of brides whose nose is out of joint because their weddings can't go ahead. And
it's on hold? Is that what they do? Is it on
it's
hold?
It's on hold. Or? Some of these weddings, though, have been put in the planning for, well, practically for entire lives of some women. But, you know, for a good year or two, they've booked venues. And it is being very dramatic, but Current Affair are having a look at it, and they're doing it in a very subtle way.
Okay.
Wedding chaos. Happy plans ruined.
Jeez. Break it to us gently.
Wow. Ouch.
And is it is it carnage out there?
It is carnage.
Wow.
I've heard from cake makers who've had orders for 50 cakes that they've had to cancel. Oh, it is wedding dress being made and just
can you zoom
in a
wedding?
Cupboard.
Can you zoom wedding? Is that legal?
Yes, I've seen wedding zoomed because you can have somebody there to actually marry you, but you just can't have any guests or anybody else go. But this has caused for me to focus on weddings. I love good wedding stories.
Sure.
And when you can get married, people and their numbers have to be low. I wanted to focus on a few stories that caught my eye. One is what's been called a very rude wedding invite. It's gone viral.
Mm.
The sender sent out to friends and family a notice and it said, please understand that our venue's limited in the number of guests we'll be able to have on our wedding day.
Okay.
As much as we like to have all of you, we can't. So we've been forced to split our guests into groups.
Oh, dear.
So they have group
okay.
A. Please reply as soon as possible because you're in group A, so you're the first group.
Wow.
And they let you know which group you're in. A group B and C, they just have to wait to see who says no from group A.
On a waiting list.
To see if they're able to go. The bride and groom also urge their guests, I'm up for this one, to hire a babysitter and leave their children at home. Also asking single guests to forego their plus one if possible. It's not a good start,
it's
is it?
It's brutal out there.
It is very brutal out there. But speaking of brutal, a few other wedding stories then crossed my path.
Yep.
One was a woman who had a wedding day and one of the guests arrived wearing a wedding dress, not just a white dress.
Hang on a minute.
A wedding dress.
The bride.
The bride wore the wedding dress, but somebody else arrived,
no.
And guess who it was? It was her mother-in-law.
Oh, what?
Yes.
And how did that go?
Yeah.
A bit awkward.
Well, as you can imagine, She was talked into it by the horrified. Everyone was horrified. But apparently she wore the wedding dresses because she lived in poverty as a child and never had her dream wedding and thought it would be a good occasion to do it. No, it's not.
No.
I don't think so.
Did she throw a bouquet as well? Did she have the first dance? Yeah. What'd she do?
Well, now, speaking of clothes, I just want to get on to another one before we go to some callers. If you've got a great, horrific wedding story, please give us a call, 133353. There's another couple who have been criticised for their strict wedding dress code. Mick, how would you feel if this was on your invitation to go to a wedding? Gentlemen, suit pants only. No tuxedos, no jeans, no khakis. Must be black or navy. Cannot be any shade of grey. Shirt, white button-down dress shirts only. No patterns. Suit coats must be worn. No grey, black or navy only. Ties, solid colours only. Cannot be grey, white, ivory, mauve or sage. This is
what is going on? I'm not going to a job interview. I'm not going to the government house. I'm meeting the Queen at a frigging wedding.
It sounds like a good excuse for guys to get out of weddings, quite frankly.
I turned up in Lederhausen. That's what I
did. That would be funny, and I would welcome that. Ladies, dresses only, not jumpsuits or pantsuits. Dresses must be no longer than knee length. Dresses cannot be white, ivory, white with a floral pattern, black, beige, black with a pattern, mauve, sage, or any shade of grey.
Wedding chaos. Happy plans ruined.
Can you believe there's people out there?
What is the power trip attached to having a wedding where you can dictate to everyone what they do, what they eat, what they wear?
Well, the bridezilla factor is real. It's a very real thing because it's your perfect day. Or it could be your perfect day. You have numerous perfect days. Yeah. Let's go to some callers because we've got some people calling up here. Let's go to Rachel.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon.
Rachel.
How are you?
Good. Have you had a memorable wedding once you went to?
Yes, my cousin got married quite some time back, and at one point during the night there was a big congregation around one of the doors. And in our family that generally means that a fight's broken out.
Yeah.
When I didn't see any punches being thrown and with a few bevies under the belt, I went over there. And what had happened was the groom had been dancing with his auntie and she dropped dead mid-dance.
Oh, my God. It wasn't the birdie dance, was it? Oops.
I hope she was dressed appropriately.
Oh, my God. Rachel, that's a nightmare.
There
Thank
it
you
is.
For calling.
Let's we'll take some more calls. 133353. We're on here. Wedding stories, disasters, please. give us a call. 133353.
Wedding chaos. Happy plans ruined. This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. Wedding chaos. Happy plans ruined.
Oh, this is on the back of COVID-19 and the worst year probably that you could plan a wedding, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. And give it a miss.
Something happens to, I would say, mostly brides' minds when they want to get married. They seem to explode.
They go bonkers.
They go bonkers. Things happen, but also weddings are just set up for disasters to happen, for something to go wrong.
It does. It feels like there's more drama and grief and long-term damage than there is of holy union.
Yeah.
Correct. I think it's because it's built up so much to be the perfect day.
A lot of expectation, isn't it?
So much expectation. This is the issue. This is the problem. So we've had plenty of calls on this, I have to say. And let's go to Sharon in Maitland. Hello, Sharon. Hi, Sharon. How are you going?
Sharon. Ooh. Sharon. I think the groom's got to her.
Hang on. No, she's not there.
Park, Sharon, and we'll try and come back
All
to
right,
Sharon.
All right, let's go to Keith. Hello, Keith.
G'day. How's it going?
Yeah, good. Where are you calling from, Keith?
I'm calling from Toongabbie in Sydney.
Very good.
Beautiful.
Top shelf.
Central Coast there. Beautiful. tell us what happened. You have a memorable wedding.
Yeah, so it was my cousin about, it'll be 10 years ago now. She was on her way and the driver of the limo got pulled over for a roadside breath test.
Yeah.
And he blew overs by a good margin.
Wow.
What? He's the limo driver. He's got one job.
He's probably come from the Bucks party, hasn't he?
What's
he
done?
Well, he was a mate of mine, so I'd recommended him, which,
Come on, Keith.
He'll be in the bad books too, Keith.
Okay.
So he's blown over and he's been pulled over and no chance of going ahead.
Well, we were in the Blue Mountains, so there was no phone reception, so they couldn't call ahead to say what had happened.
So how did it all get to yeah. the church?
You don't want to be taxi.
Thankfully,
the bride
there was
not want to be turning up in a taxi.
No, I would be bawling my eyes out.
Wagon. In a paddy wagon.
What?
Come on, Keith.
The groom was standing there. He's waiting. She's a good 15, 20 minutes late at this point. And then the police car comes up, and he went white as a ghost. And then out she pops. And
good on the cops. History. They've done the right thing. They've gone into the church on time. Did they tie cans to the back of the divvy van?
and did the limo driver, did he end up going to the reception?
No, but he went to the dog queue not long after.
Oh, I bet he did. Yeah. Wow.
Hey, good. Well, thanks, Keith. Let's give him some of your Brick Lane beer.
Oh, Brick Lane, absolutely. Base lager for
not for
you.
The cousin, though.
Top shelf.
Not for the cousin. Shall we see if Sharon, we can get Sharon back. Hello, Sharon. How are you going?
Hello. Can you hear me this time?
Gotcha.
Yes, loud and clear.
Awesome.
Fire away.
Beautiful. Well, mine probably not as funny as some, but my DJ decided to have an apprentice with him the night of our wedding.
Yeah.
Well, it just happened to be the ex-fiancé of mine.
Hang on. What?
Yes.
No. Yes. That's certainly an eye-opener.
And did he play all your favourite songs and the stuff that meant a lot to you?
All the songs that we wanted played were played. And I said to, like, my husband on the day, I said, well, remember I said I've been engaged before? I think you're going to meet him.
Oh, no. That's extraordinary. Yeah.
And how'd he go? How'd he take it?
Oh, look, we all had a laugh about it. It was quite funny on the night. But it was really awkward when we first walked into the hall because the stage where the DJ was directly behind the bridal table, right in front of where we were sitting as we walked in.
Remember me?
That's it.
And who broke off the engagement in the first place?
Yeah.
I did.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, well, that's a memorable one, Sharon. Hey, would you
definitely.
Like to... Have we got any more things to give away?
Well, we've got some tickets for you to go see our exclusive Garrard session with the Killers. How does that sound for you, Sharon?
Awesome. Sounds good.
Oh, they're such fun, these sessions, Sharon. You'll love it.
Yeah, so good.
Wonderful.
Good on you. Okay, awesome. Thank you. Let's go to Dom. Hey, Dom, how are you doing?
Not bad. How are you guys?
This is a story about your own wedding, and we're good, thanks.
Yeah, so we got married a couple of years ago. We had a destination wedding up in North Queensland.
Yep.
And we're expecting one of a million things that could have gone wrong, but everything went off without an absolute hitch.
Yep.
Until we went to take the photos on the beach.
Yep.
Yeah.
And my wife insisted on having a horse and cart to drag us around and go in between.
Okay.
And I was a bit weary of old Flash there from the start because I don't get along with horses at the best of times and I don't trust them. And the lady assured me, nah, he's been doing it for 20 years. He's amazing. She was rambling on the whole time saying he could just about do this route by himself. I don't even need to be here. He's the best. And anyway, we line up on the beach to take the photos and I'm doing my best to look all schnazzy in front of the horse holding the reins and... He's taking a big chomp out of the back of me.
No. He bit you on the bum.
Yeah. So he's I don't know what's going on, but he got a bit restless and I felt a big chomp and I turned
around.
That's a sign.
That's an omen.
That's right.
That is terrible. Are you still together?
Yeah. The worst part about it is I was ranting and raving and I thought he didn't like me, but my uncle and my old man were up on the pier looking out from the reception and they said, it's not that he didn't like you, it's actually that he liked you a bit too much because something came out and he was a bit excited.
Hang on,
we didn't know the postscript to that was necessary.
Not on your wedding day.
Yes,
it might have peaked too early.
Forward. Good on you, Dom. Thank you, mate.
Oh, my God. Okay. Andrew, we got time for Andrew?
Yeah, we do.
Hey, Andrew, what happened at a wedding you went to?
Hey, Megan Jane, we went to one a few years ago, a lot of years ago now.
Yeah.
The bride, the mother of the bride arrived dressed in all black with the veil and everything, like she was going to a mob wedding, a mob funeral.
What? Why?
She wasn't a fan of the bridegroom.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that must have been a nice, relaxing reception.
Yeah, we're sitting there and she marched down the aisle and, and there was just looks sideways and snickers and, okay.
Now, she's made her point.
Are they still together?
No.
Oh, she might have had a premonition. She was right.
She's had the last laugh. well done, Andrew.
Thank you,
well
everyone.
Done to all our callers.
So good.
They're great.
It's carnage out there.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Jeez.
All right, up next, Jane's all across us. She's getting messages from NASA, so I believe it's a nerd alert.
James.
Right after this.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Dr. Chris Brown, he'll be joining us in the second hour.
Cannot wait.
Yeah, that's it. It's always got to discuss. Is it time for a nerd alert?
It is.
Nerd alert.
Which means we welcome James, our resident nerd, to the desk. Mm. What do you got for us?
Very supportive environment here.
It is a supportive environment. Nerds are loving facetious.
What do you mean?
Well, did you take offence to that?
Yeah.
Oh, I prefer...
Rascally nerd.
Genius.
Now you deserve to be razzed. God, thanks.
Got some space news for you guys. Jane and Dane, you both received a push notification.
I did.
NASA is sending up the Perseverance rover to Mars. This follows China and the UAE, who have also sent rovers to Mars. It's a big time.
There's going to be gridlock up there. There's that many rovers.
Yeah.
Haven't we done the rover thing? Like, the rovers go out, they go, they collect some rocks.
But the technology changes, though. They get more advanced and they get
totally
more samples.
Totally more advanced.
Pictures better.
What are they learning? Why are they there?
They're going to look for past...
It's red.
They want to find past microscopic life on Mars. So they're sending out the Perseverance. It'll do some drilling. And it costs
good flying weather too is forecast.
Yeah,
peak hour with all those rovers up there. You know, it's
all to do with your trajectory. You've got to be able to, like, Earth needs to be in line with Mars.
Yeah, you lost me.
Okay,
can I say this? NASA are really struggling for things to do, aren't they?
Ever since
they banned the space race, and since SpaceX started, so now they're sitting around going, guys, we need to do something.
Well, the astronauts
send another rover.
Wouldn't you like to go to Mars? Wouldn't you like to travel there and set
up? I would not like to go to Mars. It takes too long. But I'm interested in the SpaceX crew.
Yes.
Splashing down on Sunday, James.
Yeah, so this is Astro Bob and Astro Doug, who have those really cool looking outfits.
I love these
guys. Uncles, your dad and your uncle. They're out in the daggy space suits, I've ever seen.
So
I love them.
Providing that a tropical cyclone doesn't hit Florida on Sunday US time, it'll be the first time in 45 years that there has been a water splashdown of a spacecraft, which is very exciting.
Hang on, SpaceX are supposed to land the things, aren't
they? That's what I thought. They land
the boosters, which is the expensive stuff. You've got to be able to reuse them.
You've lost him again now.
but the capsule...
splashdown.
Yeah, so the capsule will go down and...
That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Are they in Speedos? Like, how do they get out?
That makes me tense, splashdowns.
When they get
really
out, they dive in, or they...
No, because you've been in microgravity, so you can't just go out and go for a swim. You've sort of got to be helped out of the capsule in your little...
Isn't that what happened in I Dream of Jeannie when he splashed down?
Hang on, mate. They haven't been up there that long.
Oh, so a couple of weeks.
You're up there for a week, your muscles
Why
might
atrophy.
They've just done a lap around it.
That is a good point. They haven't been there forever.
All right, you do it.
Can I move on to another? This is Nerd Alert.
Yep.
Can I talk about a class? One of the biggest nerds of all time, which is Mark Zuckerberg.
Nerd Alert! Nerd Alert!
This is disturbing to me, and it's been going for a few years. We know that he has a few things that he enjoys doing, and one is smoking meat.
Right.
First of all, if you ever see this visually, you'll notice he has the worst looking backyard you've ever seen.
Why? What's in it?
It's concrete ground. He has two camping chairs that look like they've just been taken out of a packet. Mm. And he has these really horrendous looking smokers. He wears purple t-shirt.
It's just awful. Backpackers.
It looks terrible. This is one of the richest men in the world who got no taste in how to do his backyard. But let's just hear him talk about his passion for smoking meat.
Hey, everyone. We are live from my backyard where I am smoking a brisket and some ribs. Today we got a brisket on the big guy and some pork ribs on the green egg. How many of you guys are eating brisket and ribs tonight? They taste doubly better when you hunted the animal yourself. So
okay.
This is what Facebook Live is for.
What? When you hunt, Mark Zuckerberg, you go out and hunt animals, is that right?
Can I say this?
Oh, my God, what?
I love a barbecue. It's almost impossible to ruin a barbecue, but I would not go within 500 metres of Mark Zuckerberg's barbecue. They'd kill it forever.
That's shocking. Quickly,
nerds are running the world, a giant nerd.
Another nerd alert is the Queen is starting to use Zoom.
Nerd alert! Nerd alert!
Her daughter, Princess Anne, though, had a few tips for her, and this is so sweet. This is Princess Anne talking to her mummy and asking her to keep up and understand how you work with Zoom.
Good morning, at Windsor.
Good morning. I'm very glad to have been able to join you. Can you see everybody? You should have six people on your screen.
Yes, well, I can see four anyway.
Okay, very nice. Actually, don't need me. You know what I look like.
So it's good to know that even the royal family have the same issues as when you talk to your mum and dad on Zoom. It says, I can only see myself. Why can't I see four of you? Where are you all?
I'd kill to drop in on that Zoom call.
Well, how much fun imagine that.
Morning. James, there's one other story, guys, isn't there?
What final got, story, some overachieving Indian teenagers who were doing a school project where they were able to look at some images taken by a telescope positioned at the University of Hawaii. Mm. They discovered an asteroid that is 10 times the distance that exists between Earth and the moon.
What are NASA doing? Too busy sending a rover to Mars. Well, why they sleep at the wheel?
Easy?
So two girls from India have gone, hey, NASA, found an asteroid.
That is a bit embarrassing for NASA, isn't it?
Of course it is. Yeah. That's terrible.
What's an asteroid, James? For anybody who doesn't know, I know what it is.
It's smaller than a planet. And it's just a big rock, gravity bolt.
They're making us all look bad. This is a good question. 133353, what were you doing? What was your greatest achievement as a teenager? Mine was probably shoplifting from Brashers, which I used to do on a regular basis. And I was very, very good at it.
All right, well, give us a ring.
These Indian schoolgirls making us all look silly.
They do make us look
133353.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Dr. Chris Brown, he'll be joining us in about 10, 15 minutes.
I wonder what he did. He would have achieved something when he was a teenager.
Oh, my God. He's not showy.
He's
good looking.
He'll come in with some story about rescuing some kind of St. Bernard or something. Hey, these Indian school... We're talking about this because these Indian schoolgirls have discovered an asteroid. That's pretty big business, isn't it?
That is amazing. I'm very excited for them. I love it.
They're up to no good, and the schoolgirls have done well. Yeah. Good on them. And it got us thinking, what was your greatest achievement as a teenager? Mm. As I said, I was shoplifting from Brashers, which I was very good at. Dave, what did you...
I was the Ballarat finalist for the Lego Building Championship.
That's right. That's amazing.
80, yeah. But I never made it because they had a big one in Melbourne where all the regional kids could go. Didn't make it to the Melbourne one. If you won that, you got to go to Copenhagen.
Well, that's just sad. That's not an achievement.
It's very sad. I've always been upset. Ballarat's... And one day you're going to go to Copenhagen.
I will.
Because that's
I'm going to go to
Legoland.
If your closest bet is to build Copenhagen out of
we're not going
to
mention our producers.
We should.
You know what the song whisperer is up to.
Well,
I can't put it out there.
It's terrible.
What did you do? What was your great achievement?
Mine was I was in a choir at school and we went to the Stedford. Everyone knows what a Stedford is. Mm. And we got a perfect score of 100.
Wow.
What did you see?
It was very rare.
What did you see?
Well, now when I look back and think about it, it's probably very inappropriate. We sang a gospel song.
Oh, okay.
So a whole bunch of white convent girls. We were not in blackface. We were going, wade in the water, wade in the water, children. And we go, maybe that was an unusual choice of song for white schoolgirls to sing.
Now.
No, you wouldn't.
Hey, George is on the line. George, what was your great achievement as a teenager?
G'day, guys. My big sporting achievement, I was about 15, 16, and I beat Mark Woodford in a game of tennis.
Wow.
Well
done.
That's not bad.
You tell him up with straight sets.
Well, just don't worry about the set. It's the game. It's all about the game.
He beat me
6-1 in the set.
So you grabbed one game from Mark Woodford, but not.
But I can honestly say I beat Mark Woodford in a game.
Love you, man. We're going to give you some Brick Lane because that's
slab of Brick Lane coming your way. Keep them coming. Here we go. Let's take Mark, shall we?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, how you going?
Yeah, what did you do, mate, as a teenager? What was your big achievement?
When I was 11, I run the Melbourne Marathon, Melbourne Marathon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Frankston to Melbourne.
Yeah.
How far?
42K.
Why did you do it?
You were 11.
11?
Holy moly.
That's bad parenting, I reckon. How'd you go? How'd you pull up?
Yeah, 4 hours it took me, first time.
Ah, you're a little legend.
Yeah.
Took me a little longer. Hey,
I ended up doing it three times.
You've done three marathons.
Oh, yeah. Good for you.
What happens when you hit the wall?
Yeah.
Oh, I hit the wall at St Kilda.
How far in? That's pretty close to finish.
I think it was about 38K mark, I think.
Yeah, right. And did you ever whoop your strides? Apparently it's quite common when you
I don't do that. No,
Deeks did it.
You're very
Deeks
impressive,
did
Mark.
It. Good enough for him. I would have thought Tony's on the line. Tony, what was your achievement?
Mate, my achievement was in 1973, being mini Ironman champion of Australia. And as I got married to my wife some 40-odd years later, my wife, my mother, full of Capri Oscars, stood up. He was mini Ironman champion in 1973.
Hang on, what's a mini? What's mini Ironman?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Well, that was like I was under seven.
What do you have to do? What's the Ironman competition when you're under seven? What do you do?
Well, you do flag races and then you do a wade race. You don't actually save anyone.
It's nippers on crack, surely.
Yeah, nippers on crack. But to this day, that's all I'm known for from my mum. She looks at me and goes,
Tony, you're not getting
it. Let it go, Tony.
You're on the back of a YouTube game packet, are you? Unless it's one from those little variety packs.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, all right, listen, we'll go to a break, a song.
Yes.
What are we doing, mate? And we're going to come back. We're going to try and hook up with our mate in quarantine.
Yes, Townsville, North Queensland. We're checking with Michael Hibbard in just a moment. Yeah, and the Song Whisperer too.
A drive home that's a little unpredictable. This is Kennedy Malloy.
In the age of coronavirus, there are people in quarantine hotels all around Australia, and we know one of them. He's a good bloke, he's a friend of ours, and we thought it'd be great to get the guff, what's going on the inside. We hear so much about it. He's a Victorian, he's in Townsville, he's there for 2 weeks, he's on the line now. G'day, Michael, how are you?
G'day, Mick, how you going?
Not too bad.
Hi, Jane.
Hey, going? Michael.
I have learned some new skills.
What's that?
I can now cut up an apple with a plastic knife.
Now, that's a talent you didn't think you'd require.
Wow,
yeah.
What are you wearing in lockdown?
Yeah.
I haven't got out of me budgie smugglers and me tank top.
Hello, girls.
There you go, Jane.
Well, that might answer my next question, which is, are you expected to clean the rooms yourself or does the cleaning service go through?
No, then no one's allowed in your room under any circumstances, so you've got to do everything. And I've been fortunate the housekeeping's been managed to be able to take my beach towel and they've now cut it down to size so it fits the balcony.
What do you do with a beach towel? You can't go in the pool, can you?
No, but I can lay down to sunbathe, Jane, you know.
Get your vitamin D.
Yeah.
In your budgie smugglers.
Yeah.
Townsville will be loving that.
But no one can see it.
Check out the balcony in 704. Who's that up there?
Another week to go.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to catch up with you from time to time.
Okay.
Hope you're well. Don't do anything silly.
Love to check in. Thanks, Michael.
Bye.
There he is, Michael Hibbard, joining us from Northern Queensland.
How's that?
Good.
He's learnt to cut an apple with a plastic knife.
Very positive.
There's
though,
a lot to do in lockdown, let me tell you. We'll keep you posted. Is it time?
Let's do it.
With Jay, the Song Whisperer.
Song Whisperer. I'm just still getting over your achievement as a teenager, which we can't put to air.
13-year-old, yeah.
I just can't chill.
Not my finest
song
moment.
Whisperer.
No, we don't know. I'm insisting it's not said because there are many women who hold the Song Whisperer in high esteem and it will ruin
this will change your mind forever.
Whatever. Wow.
Not the guy you think he is.
He's not. He's some bad friends in America where he lives.
13-year-old young man.
Nah. Song Whisperer, what have you got for us today? Synopsis, please.
This is a song about sex. It is full of euphemism, nostalgia, and innuendo. Examples of such include breakfast pastries, house pets, nursery rhymes, and ultimately bipedal locomotion.
I beg your pardon, what?
What's bipedal
locomotion?
It'd be a bicycle.
Well, that's, Jane, that's it's one of the clues.
Bipedal.
Okay. So you're having a weird day, Song Whisperer.
I'm going to say.
These are weird times, Jane.
Dave.
Is bipedal walking, Song Whisperer? Is that what that would be? Is it walking in Memphis?
I
was walking with my feet
10 feet off the beat. I love
when
that song.
When I walk down the street, bum, bum, bum. What's that?
John Paul Young.
John Paul Young. Oh, yesterday's... JPY. Oh,
yeah. Mm.
Right.
Yesterday's Hero.
Yeah.
Great song.
It's a good song, isn't it?
A very good song. Not having a crack, Jane? Sitting this one out?
No, because I think I know it.
Oi.
I think Jane does as well.
Sit on that one then. Mm. And when we come back, 133353, get on board.
Drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And coming up in the big second hour, Dr. Chris Brown, friend of the show, swings by for a natter. We've got a few stories to run by him.
We have, and thank goodness he's coming by. We have plenty of animal stories. I've got plenty of questions to ask him.
We've got to get to the bottom of your dog's behaviour as
well.
We do. Off the back of that, we're going to do Gone Wild, and there's some big stories going around. Did you know the Bolivian scrotum frog is in danger?
Well, I've never even knew it existed.
Well, you do now. It's on the table. We'll get to the bottom of that. We'll take
that
your calls.
That sounds great.
We'll take your tweet. Oh, just one of many stories, Jane.
I know. I feel very excited.
It's so much to wait. Oh, we're straight into it here.
Song Whisperer.
Okay, so Song Whisperer. Synopsis again, please.
This is a song about sex. It is full of euphemism, nostalgia, and innuendo. Mm. Examples of such include breakfast pastries, house pets, nursery rhymes, and ultimately, bipedal locomotion.
Hokey pokey. it's a euphemism. It's nursery rhyme.
That's true.
Bipedal, whatever that is.
Most not correct.
No.
Not the hokey pokey.
Jane, you're out. You think you know what it is? Dave?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I went with Mark Cohen walking in Memphis, but that was
all right. Let's go to the callers. Wayne. Wayne, what are you thinking, buddy?
Is it being naked like you ladies 1 week? It's been 1 week
since you looked at me. No. Big innuendo.
Well. That would be the sexual sex talk. Yeah, sexual. Yeah. What do you think, Song Whisperer?
Not bare naked.
Okay. Ah, jeez. No. Bad luck, Wayne. Good effort, buddy.
Thanks for playing that. We'd like to hear it.
Hey, Paige, what are you thinking? Paige, you...
Hey, guys. I think it's Bloodhound Gang, the bad press.
Well, you've forbidden a plenty.
It's a song about sex.
It was quite an extraordinary song when it came out at the time, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It was sort of like, okay, what's all this about?
They're having a laugh, I think, those blokes, the Bloodhound Gang.
Yeah.
Never going to be Hall of Famers.
Not correct.
A little one-hit wonder.
Okay. All right.
Speaking of one-hit wonders.
Oh.
All right,
Jason's
here we go.
On the line.
Jason, where are you calling from, Jason?
It could still be right. Newcastle. Hi, Jason.
Good on you. What's happening there, mate? Can you still get a beer in a pub in Newcastle?
Absolutely.
You bastard.
Really?
Rub it in.
And what's it like? Oh, stop it.
I'd be there right now.
Me too.
I'd be holding that pub in a siege situation, refusing to come out. Hey, what do you got for us, Jason?
Turning Japanese at the vapors.
Well.
Okay, so... We know what this song is a euphemism for.
Yeah.
Masturbating, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Oh, my God. I can't say that word.
Too late. It's gone to air now.
Don't be stupid.
Very ripe.
Don't be ridiculous.
It's a bit ripe.
It's not ripe.
Some of our regional markets.
Get over yourselves. Something you're very familiar with.
All right. Well, not denying that, especially in lockdown.
Yeah, that's right.
Seriously.
I'm going to put my tackle in an ice bucket.
Oh, I did. Yeah, hand grenade's been thrown.
Exactly what you've done.
Give us a call.
Is it correct?
No, it's not. Not the big.
It's a shame. I was hoping it was. I'd send you a slab of Brick Lane, but you've already got beer. Sorry, Jason. Yeah. Nigel.
Hello.
Are you calling us from the Gong?
Yep.
That's a great part of the world, mate.
Magnificent.
Indeed. What's your song, buddy?
Fat Bottom Girls by Queen. Fat Bottom Girls, you make the rockin' world go round. Fat
Bottom Girls, you make the rockin' world go round. It's like an ode to Fat Bottom Girls, isn't it?
Well, it's a shout-out. And you know what? A fat bottom is a coveted bottom.
Well, a Rubenesque shape as always.
Well, the Kardashians have made a career out of having big, fat bums.
That's true.
So have I. I just don't get as much credit. Credit where credit's due. Oh, I could do that photo. You know where she put the champagne glass on?
You should do that for your next photo, just, you and Jane.
I'm very close.
I'm not doing anything. What do I do in that?
Can you?
No.
Take the photo. Hey, what's that?
Sorry, Nigel. It's not Queen.
Ah, jeez. All right, come on, Shane. You can do it.
Save us, will you?
What are you thinking?
Please. The words there would be, you ain't seen nothing till you're down on the muffin. That would have to be Aerosmith Walk This Way.
There's some euphemism for you.
Walk This Way. It's walking. It's bipedal.
Bipedal, that's right.
Absolutely. Hey, Diddle Diddle is the nursery rhyme. The house pets are the kitty in the middle.
We're on here.
Correct.
Hey. Bang! Well done, Shane.
Thank you, Shane. I knew it too. I was with you all the way, man. Well done.
Slab of Brick Lane coming your way. Yeah. You've got tickets to see The Killers, the Garrard session, which is coming to you. And let's play the song right now. It's Aerosmith with Run DMC. Up next, Dr. Chris Brown, Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
The Living Room is back on tomorrow night, 7:30 on Network 10.
Revamped. It's been completely
looks amazing
done over,
too, doesn't it? Yeah. Featuring Dr. Chris Brown, our favourite, of course, on Kennedy Malloy.
Hello, Doc. How are you?
Hello, Chris.
Good afternoon. How are you going?
Always
a
pleasure.
Yeah, we're good. How are you going?
Swing by.
Yeah, I'm all right, you know.
Where are you based at the moment? You're not in Victoria lockdown, are you?
No, look, I'm unable to cross the border to obviously catch up with you and fix your animal problems directly. I can only do them remotely, which is always a challenge. But no, I'm all right. Obviously, keeping busy with the Living Room and can't really complain.
Very good. Hey, you should be in Bondi. You know that, don't you?
Look, I'm doing my best to edge back into the suburb. You know, Mickey. I've seen the error in my ways. And
hey, Chris, we were talking about there's a couple of Indian girls who've discovered an asteroid. And was saying what an extraordinary achievement they made, their teenage girls. Have I heard a whisper that you have a teenage achievement?
Well, of sorts, I guess. Like when I was 13, just freshly into my teenage years, I raised thousands of dollars for my high school that I just started to attend by selling seedlings, like, you know, herbs and flowers and all sorts of stuff. It was lovely. That's not that remarkable. What was remarkable was the fact that in the process of growing so many seedlings, I went through so much cotton wool, because that's where you obviously start to sprout the seed.
Yeah.
I ran out and so I just went through the house trying to find what I thought was cotton wool and went into my parents' bathroom and found these clumps, amazing clumps of cotton wool that were attached to strings. And I then presented to my high school 100 tampons with seedlings growing out of them and didn't know why. Majority of the school.
And this is why we love you. This is why you're a national treasure. That is hilarious.
Great stuff. Hey, now, before we get to Jane's dog, because we're going to get to Jane's dog and its behaviour, I want to run a couple of quick ones by you. Mike Tyson, this we found out, said he wanted to fight a silverback gorilla. How would that go for Mike?
Yeah, who would win?
It wouldn't go well.
That's what I thought.
Look, silverbacks are like the strength in their little finger is more than what we have in our arms. I mean, they are remarkable animals. They can crush you.
It'd be fun to watch though, wouldn't it?
It'd be amazing. I mean, I know who I'd get on board as the consulting trainer to understand more about gorilla behaviour. He's in the studio with you right now.
Thank you very much. I've been to Africa. But it's incredible for a vegetarian, which gorillas are a vegan almost. Well, they're plant-based. That's all they eat. So there's a very good argument for eating only plant-based food.
I'll get on it. Hey, now, also, too, what about should I be frightened of a baboon carrying a chainsaw? So we had a story earlier in the week of these baboons in a national park, and they think some of the locals are giving them weapons. So they're running around the park with
it's in Thailand, is it, Mickey?
And all types of weapons. One of them was carrying a chainsaw. Should I be alarmed if I see a baboon carrying a chainsaw?
And unless that baboon is planning on doing a little bit of manscaping just to tidy up the regions that are already renowned as being the least attractive in the animal kingdom,
they really are. That's terrible. They're so fugly. It's terrible.
I would be concerned. Quite intelligent, but yeah, you know, so some sort of landscape gardeners claim to be highly intelligent.
That's true. And before I get to another question, especially in Victoria, and now everybody is face masking up, it's mandatory. How do pets feel about face masks?
You know, this is really interesting. I actually did some research into this over the last few days. Some of them are struggling with it because there was a study about 4 years ago out of the University of Vienna, actually in Austria, if you don't mind, that found that pets can actually read our facial expressions. So they can tell if we're angry or if we're sad or if we're happy based around our face and, in particular, our mouth and the way we're moving it. So without that, they can be confused and a bit anxious by what they're seeing. So you've got to give them a bit more in terms of like a calm voice and your body language just to reassure them that everything's actually
That's good to know. Yeah. And Chris, now I have an issue because Indy, you know, the Leonberger Indy, she will let Rob walk her, she'll let me walk her, but our children, no. She just drops. She will not budge.
Can't hurt
we
of.
Can't get it. Yeah. No, it's not unheard of.
A dog
I'm
that
sure.
refuses to go on a walk.
It's nuts. Hey, isn't it?
Want to go walkies? Yeah. I've never heard a dog say no.
Absolutely. She will not go. What is the story there?
It does seem a little strange. Is it a new behaviour? Like only just over the last few months, or has it actually done it for a while?
Well, my daughter has said, "Oh my God, Mum, that dog is never more than 1 foot away from you."
It's spoiled.
24
it's
hours
a spoiled dog, isn't it?
She is honestly with me all the time.
I have seen Indy in action in this way, and she's keeping very close watch. And a lot of dogs, this is the way dogs see. They either see us as being their security detail, or them as being your security detail. And I think for her, potentially a little bit of both, but I would say she's getting security out of being with you, and she feels like she is your servant essentially when you go out out of the street.
She's a spoiled brat, basically, isn't she?
Yeah, well, she feels like you have a thing going, and she feels capable of defending you unless you attempt any sort of backyard wildlife watching again. but she feels capable of doing that. But I think with the kids, she's not so sure. She's not so sure she can.
And you know what? She's actually not wrong because, to be frank, I'm not so secure with one of my 13-year-old twins walking the dog up the shops. Who knows what could go on? Mm. And I think she is instinctive. She knows this.
Can you train that out of her? Can you get other people to walk the dog?
You can. You just have to start with short walks and just down to the end of the street and back, because I think she feels like, you know what, you'll have a back if a dog, I mean, there aren't many dogs bigger than Indy, to be fair, but if a dog that was somehow bigger or more threatening, I mean, some chihuahuas could be more threatening than a 100-kilo dog.
Snappy.
that she feels like she gets security out of having you guys there and feeling, so she's not sure that the kids potentially might be able to rescue
her. They're not protective enough.
Yeah, correct. So if they're just firm, if they're confident, she'll pick up on that.
And need to be more confident. Thank you.
There's a dog that won't go on a walk. I've never heard of it before.
There are completely some strange things happening in that household.
Who knows what is going on? Hey, what's happening on the living room, mate?
Well, look, we have what we believe is the keys to this is the extent of our entertainment at the moment, is a dinner party.
I was going to say, you've said keys and a dinner party.
Well,
Barry Dubois, I mean, it's got it written all over him, doesn't it? He'd love to throw
totally does.
Into a bowl. So we've got the secrets to the best entertaining at home, how to cook a meal. I may unleash my signature dish.
Here we go.
What is that?
Listen up.
It's a miso salmon, black and miso salmon.
Oh, my God. You're the only boy I know
miso
that likes salmon.
That's it. Come on. That's it. I've heard enough.
How good is that?
I've heard enough.
Yum. I love it. And girls love it.
Yellow card, Don. Yellow card for you.
Thank you, Chris.
Make sure you tune in and see the miso salmon.
Yep. Tomorrow night.
If you're dating, you can only use it once. Like, you can't just
recover. You cannot recover. It is so. Girls are bowing to you right now if you bloody do salmon.
All right, living room tomorrow, 7:30 on 10. Dr. Chris Brown, Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home with a show motto is what could possibly go wrong? This is Kennedy Malloy.
Nick and Jane. Gone Wild.
I love Gone Wild. It's great. Are you starting?
I am starting.
Fire away.
All right. I'm going to start with the CSIRO, which is very Australian.
Yeah. Okay.
And scientists at our federal government agency have currently given scientific names to 165 new species this year.
Shush. It's a busy day.
It's very busy. They've picked five flies to name, and they're naming them after superheroes and villains within the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay. Nice.
So you know what? I go, Chris Hemsworth, you've got a lot going on that's good for you, and now you bloody get a fly named after you as well. Because there's the Thor fly, which is in tribute of the God of Thunder, played in Marvel by Chris Hemsworth.
But does it name Chris Hemsworth or is it Thor?
Thor.
But Thor's like a character.
I know, but now everybody connects it with Chris Hemsworth.
If it was the Hemsworth fly, then you should be angry.
No, but people will still connect it. And the only reason they're doing it is because I think he's brought a great tribute and he plays the God of Thunder very well. The scientific name is Daptoslestes brontoflavus.
Of course it is.
It translates to blonde thunder. Yeah. It's not the only one. There's Black Widow, which is Natasha Romanoff, which is your coveted Scarlett Johansson's character. now you're listening.
I'm on.
Deadpool.
Is that a hot fly?
That
better be a hot fly. Yeah. Like a really
would be.
Hot, talented.
Yeah. Well, she's been called Daptoslestes Feminigitatis, meaning women wearing leather.
Okay.
Okay. I think they made that up. That's not true.
Is there a Gary Poole fly? Should there be a Gary Poole?
Well, there should be. There's a Deadpool fly. It's close.
It just feels like this.
It has a kimono.
So you've really got to be in your bonnet about this, haven't you? Well, so it shouldn't be a Thor fly.
No, I think it's unfair that actors in superhero movies and Marvel movies get so many accolades, they get so rich, and now they get the scientific community even acknowledging them, and it really pisses me off.
Right.
Okay.
Because they're playing dress-ups. They're dressing up.
Crack it. Chris Hemsworth is just trying to entertain
like
the public, and all of a sudden
I like Chris. I go, win you win your awards in your actuary land, but don't encroach on my nerd land CSIRO.
Richard the Dalai Lama. Now there's Chris Hemsworth.
No, it's not Chris Hemsworth. I've said you can have all your big plaudits with you Hollywood gang, but don't get into the real scientific community where there's really brainy people around.
Hey,
I like it.
Okay.
Lake Titicaca. Lake Titicaca.
Beg your pardon.
Got an endangered frog.
Where is Lake Titicaca, Mick?
Where is it? It'd be overseas, wouldn't it?
Come on.
Would it be America? Oh, well, is this some kind of pop quiz or something, is it?
Jane's gone on Eddie McGuire on you right now.
Sorry, just get over Thor. I don't see what Chris Hemsworth has to do with it. She named it after a Greek god.
Okay.
Hemsworth's got to drive by. It's an endangered frog. It's called a scrotum frog, and it's on its last legs. Go to the news report.
The frogs are part of a critically endangered family. They are the scrotum frogs of Lake Titicaca, Peru.
Can't make this up, folks.
You can't. We're just giving you the news.
Thor doesn't sound that bad now. I'd like to be at the meeting where they named the scrotum frog.
Wow.
Now, can I just say this in regards to the Bolivian scrotum frog, which is in imminent danger? So this is where I get angry. So we'll go, I'll save the whales. Great.
Yeah.
Save the pandas.
Yeah.
Great.
Yes.
Who's going to throw their weight behind the Bolivian scrotum frog? Where's the groundswell?
That could be in
Where's
trouble.
The people marching in the streets? Where's the greenies down going, save the scrotum frog?
Yeah.
Mickey, can you explain, and I can help you, why it's called the scrotum frog?
Because it looks like a scrotum.
Well, it says the world's largest entirely aquatic frog. Their loose skin creates folds and flaps. Yes, I said the word flaps, which earned
the
species.
I said scrotum, so I think you're doing okay.
It earned the species its unfortunate nickname.
But why? Come on, everyone, get out and save the scrotum frog. What can we do?
We should sort of GoFundMe or something.
It's got to be a GoFundMe. I'm going to go and, live in the wild for a while.
You could be the patron saint of it.
Can't get one. You know what I mean?
This is a story that interested you, and it's about lobsters.
Oh, yeah, I love this.
A rare blue lobster has received a reprieve after a restaurant sent it to a US zoo for conservation instead of people chowing down on it. Okay. So
I love this idea. I had no idea there was a blue lobster. No, and all I can say is this. That should get its own tank at a Chinese restaurant.
You know what I mean? That's
so
not the
you
point.
You walk around and then you go, oh, they'll have that one, that one. Oh, I'll have the blue. I'll have the big blue. Oh, bring that out. Let's see, that's squeal like a baby in a pot.
It's 1 in 2 million lobsters is blue.
Hey, I love a blue. Hey, that's fantastic.
But you wouldn't, seriously, you wouldn't do that.
I would love that.
Do you eat anything out of a tank?
I would Mornay a blue
lobster.
Lobster
Mornay.
Oh, yeah. Bang. Mickey.
Do you eat stuff out of tanks?
Absolutely. Well, why wouldn't I? I'd go to a wet market if I could. I'm not ruling bats out at this stage. Hey. If it's moving, I'm in.
All right.
Hey, we get the idea. 133353. If you've got any stories that you think might interest us, we've got an emu story coming
gone
up.
Gone wild.
And I've got some more grisly news involving horses.
Okay. Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Gone wild on Kennedy Malloy.
And we're trying to get behind the Bolivian scrotum frog because it's been abandoned by all the big wigs in the environmental industry. Jane Goodall's arsing about with what she did with the
gorillas
chips.
And
go and lend a hand.
It's Diane Fossey's with the gorillas.
You don't hear anyone talking about the scrotum frogs in the mist.
No.
Because it's an unfortunate term.
Come on, Attenborough.
For a frog.
get behind it. Hey, Chris is on the line.
Hey, Chris.
What would you like to add?
I think it's a Bolivian thing, guys.
Why?
But I think it's less of a frog thing. There's also a Bolivian sperm frog.
Crikey.
Oh,
wow.
Okay. Really?
What's going on down?
Why?
What's going on down the pond?
Yeah.
Google that.
And a sperm frog.
What is going
on? Come on, Bolivia.
Exactly.
Straighten up and fly right. Thanks for your input, Chris. Bill's on the line. Bill, what would you like to add?
Nick, I thought you were an ideas man. You're from Melbourne. What the hell? Spirit animal, mate. Get behind it.
You saying that's Jesus my spirit Christ. Animal?
I would like to think that that was be quite apt and appropriate for you.
I mean, so you don't have the Chinese, no, they've got year of the horse, year of the pig. They don't have year of the scrotum frog, which I wouldn't mind if I was.
I'm with you on that. It needs supporting.
I just think they're being very unimaginative. You know, they're just going, see something, do, like, come on.
Yeah, you've got to get into the naming business. You don't like Thor. You don't like the scrotum frog. What's a good name for
What I object to is people who already get so much glory also get something scientific, which is a specific area that should be held for people who are of high intelligence.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe named after famous explorers botanists.
Like Einstein, the Einstein frog.
Yeah,
the Einstein frog.
I'm saying, actors get enough.
They could pay all that cash and rich houses.
Now there's a Thor fly. Come on.
Just actors dressing up.
There should be people who are doing other things in the community.
All right,
that's just my little saying.
We'll have a word to them and we'll...
All right.
Hey, here's a grisly story. Horse semen containers.
Okay.
I can only do the stories I have in front of me.
I agree.
So they've been leaking and it's sparking a hazmat alert. Fire crews rushed to a parcel delivery centre after reports of a leak coming from a horse semen container.
Jeez. Well, this could be very, very costly because we know that in the breeding program,
that
horses,
is gold.
This is
it's
big
gold.
Bucks, big bucks.
It is indeed. And by the way, if you've got a container of horse semen, you might want to label that in the fridge. Make sure that you've.
I wouldn't put it in your own fridge.
You never know these days, but just label it clearly. If you're living in a shared house and you're going, oh, what's this? All of a sudden, geez.
Relish.
Didn't see that coming. No. All right, any other stories we need to get across?
Have we got time for
one more? Yes, we do. Absolutely.
All right. So the chameleon is something I think is unbelievable as a creature.
Yeah, they're unreal, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, they change to whatever they change their colours to fit in what they're
very, very clever.
All right, there has been escapee. A pet chameleon has escaped. It's been 8 months on the run. Can you imagine what an escapee is?
How would you find it?
Yeah.
You'll never be able to find the chameleon.
Never. This is why it's so interesting.
It could be
it's
in
so
this very room.
Could be.
You
too.
Wouldn't know.
All right. And well, I
whose
think,
job is it to find a chameleon?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Pascal, his name was. He was purchased from the PetSmart store.
Are you okay with that?
For $120.
Is Pascal okay?
It's a little cliched, but I'm going to go with it. And I don't mind. It was a 10th birthday present for Trinity. Anyway, he's a foot long. He vanished in November. She cried. Everyone's upset.
Is it back?
Finally. They finally found him.
Ah.
He's been 8 months on the run. Can you believe? When pets
he's
are reunited,
yeah.
It's usually a cat or a dog, never a chameleon.
Well
it's a
done.
Good, happy story.
That's a good, happy
nice
way
to
finish
up.
It's
gone wild.
Well done.
A drive home that's a little unpredictable. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Thanks to Choice Hotels, choicehotels.com. It's Kennedy Malloy.
Gee, they're a good bunch.
Love them.
I love this part of the show where we check in with someone from a Choice Hotel from around the big brown land.
Yeah.
And guess where we're going today? The Gong.
Oh, beautiful.
Wollongong. Rebecca's on the line. How are you, Rebecca?
Hi, guys. I'm good. You?
Oh, we are fantastic. Tell us a bit about your hotel.
Oh, we have 47 rooms. We have 1 and 2 bedroom apartments. We're in Torochi. It's just a few k's out of Wollongong and 5 minutes down to the beach.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, sounds fantastic. So
I love the name Torochi too.
Where's it come from?
I'm from Germany.
And how did you come to be in Australia? Were you classically a backpacker?
Yeah, I was.
Oh, you were?
6 months in 2006 and basically never left.
Good on you.
Oh, fantastic.
See, that's a ringing endorsement. And you've stayed, you've set up shop, and you've got a beautiful hotel. I love the Gong.
Oh,
I did.
Too.
I did some shows in Wollongong, and they were just great people. It's a fantastic,
it's a great town,
regional part of Sydney.
If we came to town, Mick and I, if we came and stayed at your beautiful Choice Hotel, the Pioneer Sands, and we were going up for the town, where would you suggest we go?
I would go for a nice a pizza or a 1 meter pizza if you want.
I love pizza.
Yum.
Yeah, you're talking my language. Fantastic, and you've got a beautiful beach at Wollongong. It's one of those fantastic Australian landscapes that I love so much. A great bunch of people, and it's a great stop along the way wherever you're going or you're travelling through or you're going to the Big Smoke. Why wouldn't you go to a great hotel in a great spot and bunk in and get some local colour?
That's right.
Yes.
From Rebecca. Did I hear you just had your wedding anniversary or something?
We got married in January in Wollongong.
Yes.
But we got married 2 years ago in Germany as well.
And you've done it again?
Yeah.
You're keen. To the same guy or is it different?
Same guy.
Oh, well done.
And you could have your honeymoon at the Pioneer Sands.
Why
perfect.
Wouldn't you
That's
do
right.
it?
Oh, yeah.
Honeymoon suite.
Hey, I will see you there at some stage when I'm travelling through. I would not drive past that Choice Hotel without dropping in and
we'll
maybe
come
staying
and say hello.
Yeah, a couple of nights. Good on you, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Bye.
Choice Hotels, that's the Pioneer Sounds in Torochi, and Rebecca Bauer there. Thanks to choicehotels.com.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, that's it for another day of Kennedy Malloy. Thanks for tuning in, Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy. Great.
Great stuff.
Oh, yes.
Really.
And tomorrow's the weekend.
Well, nearly.
Yeah,
we're nearly there. Clown of the week.
Yes.
Clown of the
that
week.
That will be awesome. Charlie Pickering's on.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I know that Charlie will have been watching Bachelor in Paradise with me. He'll have something to say about that.
He would be good on that. Don't you reckon?
Do you think?
Yeah, I think he'd be really good. He'd bring a bit of...
He'd be the thinking man.
Yeah, a bit of intelligence.
Bachelor.
Do you think he'd go the blub? Do you think he'd get upset if someone left?
Oh, no, he's very sensitive.
Is he?
I don't think he'd do the Jamie, 40-year-old Jamie, who's forever known now as 40-year-old Jamie.
Well, he's out now. He got booted out last night.
He got booted, yes.
Did he?
See you later, Jamie.
There you go.
No surprise there.
What's happening with the Taj Mahal at home? The Lego Taj Mahal.
It's coming
I just
along.
Want an update. What's happening?
Yep. Well, the bottom...
Where are we at?
Well, I don't know how you describe it, but I'm seeing towers going up.
Right.
I'm seeing vaulted archways and, you know, it's a beautiful... It's such a beautiful sentiment, the building is... Why it was built. I've never been there. Have you been to
the Is that why the boys are making it out of Lego? For love? They've got someone they love and it's a testimony to a love for the ages.
It's a challenge.
How many pieces did you say? 6,000?
6,000 pieces.
You're going to step on one. You know that. You're going to step on one.
It's taken all my strength not to hyperventilate at all the plastic bat.
Have you had a go with it yet? Have you chipped in or is this the kids?
No, I couldn't see the pieces. I need my glasses. I think I'd ruin the vibe.
You're going to stumble in there with a glass of rosé
and
fall on it.
And crush it.
It's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, well.
But no, it's looking beautiful.
Life in a big city.
I'll give you an update tomorrow.
Okay.
Missed any of today's show? Grab the podcast, kennedymalloy.com.au. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Drive you home again.
Now you're all caught up on Kennedy Malloy. Why not book your next break direct with Choice Hotels? With hotels in every state and territory, wherever you're headed, Choice Hotels is there. Visit choicehotels.com for the lowest price guaranteed. Terms and conditions apply.